Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome again to Whiskey Congress. The other Cleveland studio, but face-to-face again. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, too, man.
Not to get flaky, but I kind of miss you. I feel like we've been talking remotely the whole time. So last time we spoke, you said you were going to amp up the make a change of pace in the whiskey game.
Yeah, we had gone bourbon for a little while, and since we are in my studio this time around, I went with the Ardbeg Kelpie. I went the direction of Scotch, and then two, a smoky Scotch, and then three, a smoky Scotch that tastes like kelp.
It does indeed. It's fantastic.
Right. I mean, when you put all those things together. If you're not a whiskey drinker, especially if you don't like smoky scotches, then that combination probably sounds awful. But if you have the palate for it, then it's really good. They knocked it out of the park this time around.
It's fantastic. I think you have a video rant going to go up talking about it more.
Yeah, I first opened it, I just wanted to I just really couldn't wait, and I figured I'd kill a couple birds with a stone, with a single stone, and get some. You know, just some topic information out there, and then also do a little reveal party with the whiskey. And I think the whiskey came out great. Hope the video comes out good. Check us out on YouTube. Let us know what you think.
There's still time to vote in the Drink of Atonement, if we're calling it that. Is that expired?
I believe, actually, that came to an end. I think I set it to end either late last night or yesterday morning. And I was a little preoccupied, so nope, actually it still has 15 hours left.
So by the time this gets produced, you will have just missed it. And by the time this gets released, you'll have either just missed it or have to rush to the,
So
what's leading the
right now leading the pack? It's Smirnoff Ice by 56% over White Zinfandel and Drambuie.
So it looks like one of us will have to drink, Smirnoff Ice when you say at the end of the day, or when I awkwardly fumble around a racial slur, we will be drinking that awful shit.
Yeah.
All right.
Heartburn and diabetes, here we come.
All right.
So, but you know what? I'll tweet that out there and get it, a last push. None of those choices are really ideal.
Drambuie's, if someone would write in Manhattans, I'd appreciate that.
No.
That does defeat a purpose, I understand. All right. So, Charlottesville stays in the news. The president's latest talk about Charlottesville was pretty awful. Basically saying, let he or she who was without sin cast the first stone, as if there's equal responsibility for the violence all aboard, all around.
Yeah, and
he's been abandoned, but mostly by his own party too.
Yeah, he really just fumbled, dropped the ball, and just made himself a pariah amongst his party, amongst the people that he represents. A large percentage of the people he represents, I should say.
Here's the thing that I think is probably plain as day, but needs to get said. Being a Trump voter does not make you a racist. However, these organizations that I think would own the term racist, and if they don't want to own it, fuck off, because you're clearly proving you are, have openly spoken out and said they are pro-Trump. So if you want to blame him for that or not, they are loving him, and he is not calling them out and saying, I'm not your guy.
Well, exactly. I mean, again, talking about his base and a percentage of his base, we don't know the numbers on it. I would try prior to this and say the numbers were small, the fringe, the outside, but I think those numbers are growing. It looks like, there were a massive number of people at that protest. You know, like there were, you know, just hundreds of people, and that, you know, that's a very
right.
Minute,
I mean, getting a thousand,
across, but I mean, getting 1,000 people together, you know, in one location, all across the country, you know, and you know, the name of the protest was Unite the Right, and then it was members from the KKK, members from, you know, the Nazi Party, members from white supremacist groups, member, you know, just you know, all those different types of groups, and the leaders of those different, the alt-right, all those leaders, you know. You know, basically under one roof, for lack of a better term, you know, it was about white
under
supremacy.
One hood.
Yeah, under one hood, and you know, Trump. You know, I said on YouTube on our video on YouTube that, listen, the easiest thing for a president to do is to denounce the idea and ideals of Nazism. The easiest thing for a president to do is to stand up and say racism is wrong, right? Like, those are gimmies. Those are easier than free throws.
A 6-inch putt.
Right. I mean, it is just, those are gimmies. And somehow he managed to completely baffle it.
Bungle
just
it.
Just everything. Baffle, bungle.
He baffled you by bungling it.
Right. I mean, he just completely shit the bed in this situation. His inability or lack of willingness to respond to this correctly empowered those groups even more. Even after he came out and stood strong against them, when he backtracked, you know, later in the middle of the week and said, you know what, it was both sides. You know, those, you know, and attacking Antifa, which, listen, I have some concerns about Antifa because I don't know who they are. You know, they say that they're one thing. I see some other things. Some of it could be camera angles and timing, and I don't know what they are. You know,
I think they've given a great villain for right-wing media to attack. And I can't blame them for attacking it.
Right. And I think that my concern is I don't believe what comes out of, you know, right-wing radio, whether it's, you know, Wilkow or Breitbart or whoever. It's Antifa, they're a terrorist organization, they're a terrorist group, because they say that about Black Lives Matter. Anyone with any common sense knows that Black Lives Matter isn't a terrorist group. They may not be a well-run movement.
They've chosen words poorly at times, but...
Right, I mean, like, you have the people in Minnesota who said the pigs in a blanket and you know, all that sort of stuff, and that was... It shouldn't have been said. It was a bad decision. They, you know, if I'm leading that march, I turn around and just like, that's not a chant. Like, shut that shit down right now, or I'm out. Right? Like, you have to be smart enough to know that that's going to be used against you, and it has been. Right? That's what they're using. That's the information that they're using to turn Black Lives Matter into a terrorist organization. So, with Antifa or anti-fascist, which is what that is short for, you know, they've been blamed for starting fights with people and getting in people's faces and being the ones who are the aggressors,
the violence counter protesters,
right? And starting, you know, physical altercations where innocent people who are just passing by are getting hurt. And I don't know how true that is. I'm not there. I haven't seen it, so I don't know. So I have to be wary. I'm not going to just trust that Antifa is the good guys. Right, I can't just assume that because I know people like that get very passionate about things on the left. They do get very angry. They will get in your face and shut you down. And you have to be careful because it's one thing to get into a heated conversation or a heated debate. It's another thing when you're armed with a bat and you've got on riot gear and vest and knee pads and a mask. And you're screaming at people. Now all of a sudden, it's intimidation. It's assault. It's battery.
Right.
And it's a problem. So but I don't know if that's going on. I just want to call out that.
And I think it's something you and I are both kind of have to check ourselves on, right? Because we're both bigger guys. Yes, you're significantly bigger than me, but I'm bigger than the average Joe out there. And as liberals, we're tired of seeing liberals getting pushed around and bullied. So I kind of have that streak in me that's like, oh, you're a tough guy. Carrying a tiki torch. Talk that shit to me. Don't talk to the 110-pound girl wearing sandals.
Right.
Get in my face.
Right, exactly. And which is...
As Serrano would say, bring that shit to me, man.
Right. That's exactly it. I mean, like, it's a little bit different in that, you know, with Antifa, it's not just a bunch of big guys looking to protect the group from bullies.
Right, riot gear.
Right, I mean, like, with some of the, like, and that's what I mean. And you know, we talked about it a little bit in our last show. I think the left does need a counter to, you know, these different groups that come out and say, like, listen, we're just here to make sure that nobody attacks these right-wing protesters. They have a right to protest, which they absolutely do.
They have a right.
Right, they have a right to protest. But they're, the counter-protests, the counter-protesters also have a right to protest, right? And so if the Oath Keepers, right, you know that group, the Oath Keepers?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
I think they're veterans or one of, or I don't know exactly what their designation is from a military standpoint, or I think it's a combination of former veterans, former police officers, and they call themselves the Oath Keepers. Wherever there's either like a Black Lives Matter protest, they are there to protect the counter protest to the Black Lives Matter protest, and then they were there in Charlottesville to protect the
at some point we're gonna need like
a flowchart of all the different groups and protesters and counter protesters,
a game program, so I know who's playing left field tonight.
Right, but that's who the Oath Keepers are, and so does the left need a counter to that? And I can say yes, they probably do. You probably need someone that is trained, that is not afraid to carry a weapon, that can carry a weapon legally, so that when the Oath Keepers come up with their tight t-shirts on and their vests with their rounds and their AR-15s and their beards and glasses and tattoos and, you know, dusty boots, that you have someone on your side who can do the same thing. Now, should it be a 160-pound punk kid who really just wants to cause trouble and really wants to just be able to punch someone in the face to say that
he can get away with it in the name of Antifa?
Yeah,
right.
No. Should it be that person? No.
No.
Right. Now, I have my CCW. I'm a pretty big guy. Like, you vest me up in a tight t-shirt, and I can be a pretty intimidating guy. I don't even need a fucking shirt.
Find a t-shirt for me that isn't tight.
Right. So, I guess I could fill that role. But I think that role should be filled. But you just have to be careful that you're not out there making things worse.
Right. Are you part of the solution or part of the problem?
Right. Are you part of the solution or are you part of the problem? And I think with Antifa, so with some members, some factions of that group, right, they may be more of a problem than they are of a solution. So it's something to keep your eye on.
Agreed.
I think it's worth keeping an eye on. Now, listen, all of this in Charlottesville, what was the thing they were there for?
So what? It was a Unite the Right protest. So it was a...
What were they protesting?
The removal of Confederate statues. Statues?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the specific statue.
Robert E. Lee statue, right? Stonewall Jackson statue.
And so that in and of itself has sparked just all sorts of debate and rage on social media and on the internet, right?
Yes.
I got into it a little bit, and I try to stay off of it with social media. But sometimes
I have to fess up to what I did when you're done.
I see some things that are so ridiculous, and where I get frustrated is when it's my people that I know that I'm, you know, good friends with, or I've known for a long time, and they just say something so stupid or so off base, that, you know, it's just like, hey, I know you, you're on my friends list. Can you not be quite such a fucking moron, please? I have to associate with you, so I need you to not suck so bad. And I definitely got pulled into one of those yesterday a little bit. And, a lot of people defending this whole idea of, you know, leave the statues, it's erasing history, are completely missing the point.
Yes. I want to hear where you go with this.
Here's my thing with removing the statues. And we talked about this early, you know, a few months back, and I didn't really put a lot of thought into it. And the more I see it, the more I think about it, I always try to be as in the middle, maybe a little conservative as I can. You know, I try to overcompensate for my, you know, I guess some of my liberal views when it comes to some of this stuff. But then when I get back to who and what I am, and also common fucking sense, I usually get to where I think I need to be. And that's where I'm at with this whole removal of the statues. Okay, one, let's just come out with it. You need to remove them. You need to remove the Confederate statues. Removing the Confederate statues doesn't mean you then have to go after George Washington, doesn't mean you have to go after Abe Lincoln, doesn't mean you have to go after people who weren't in the Confederacy but they owned slaves or were bad guys. Not what that means. Nope, not at all. Actually, the reason why you move the Confederate statues is a very simple reason. It's a patriotic reason. The generals and the people who worked for the Confederacy, who fought for the Confederacy, they were traitors to this nation, okay? They were operatives of treasonous behavior, right? They committed treason, right? They fought a war.
I might say it differently, but regardless, no matter how you say it, they took up arms to attack the United States of America.
Right. Treason. It's all of this, right? It was a crime against this country, right? So if you're a true patriot, you look at that and say completely unacceptable, right? And so here's the deal. Not only did they take up arms against this country and commit treason, they lost, okay?
So they lost.
So when you lose, guess what? You don't get a trophy. Isn't that the whole thing with the...
Isn't that the whole thing with the GOP? We don't need participation trophies.
Right? Participation trophies and the kids and all that other stuff. Isn't that the ultimate participation trophy? Like, yeah, you took up arms against us, but you lost, but it was a really good fight, so here's a trophy.
Did you see Schwarzenegger's?
No, I didn't. Oh, okay. I just saw it today. I didn't get a chance to click on it. Actually, I did click on it, and I couldn't get sound, but that's a whole other issue. But my point is, those statues come down because they were fighting for a country that would be completely different than what we have now. They were fighting for a constitution that said, in the Confederate Constitution, it said that a slave owner could not emancipate a slave or it would be a crime. That's what they were fighting for. So you can tell me that Robert E. Lee was a good man, and after the war, he did what he could to try to bring the nation together. But during the war, that's what he was fighting for. I don't care that he was a soldier. I don't care that he was a good man. I don't care that he just followed orders. The orders that he followed were treason. They were against this country, and quite frankly, they were despicable. It's no different than the generals who may have been good men in Nazi Germany.
Rommel. People say Rommel was a good man. Rommel committed suicide to avoid continuing to follow Hitler's word. Okay, but he was a Nazi fucking general. I mean,
right? That's the point that I'm making with these statues. Right? They need to come down. I shouldn't have to be taunted with a statue of a person who was fighting for something that, if they had won, then right now I would be working in some field somewhere, or I'd probably be dead because I can't keep my goddamn mouth shut. So, I mean, I don't understand why this is so hard for people to wrap their fucking head around. Last thing, and I'm sorry, I've been on a rant. This whole slavery thing kind of pisses me off a little bit. But here's the thing. Me, personally, right? Put your money where your mouth is. I would not travel to the state of South Carolina until they remove the Confederate flag. Wouldn't do it.
Did you even go hours out of your way once?
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
I remember that.
I made it known. I told people. You can go back on social media many, many years to see that was how I felt about it. It had nothing to do with Obama, because people were like, oh, you didn't care until Obama got in office. No, it's been a deal for me. Like, it made absolutely no sense why that was something that was allowed. Now, when they did remove it, I went to South Carolina, right?
Right. I remember this so well, because we were at the bar we met at, the patio in Lakewood, Ohio,
right
after this trip. And I used to live in Charleston, South Carolina, which you know, but some listeners might not.
So in Charleston, South Carolina, there's a place called the Slave Market.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the Slave Market is a place that, when you look at it, you have a pretty good idea what it is. Okay. Now, what I was told by locals is, that's where the slaves went to the market.
They went to the market to buy stuff to bring back to the plantation.
That's where they went to go buy groceries. I'm like, so
that,
you...
That was told to me, too, by locals.
Right. That's where slaves went to go buy groceries. All right? Now...
Sure.
Now, listen, if you know anything about slavery, slaves weren't going off the plantation to go buy groceries. And if they were, they were accompanied by someone. And maybe even if they were allowed off, like, they just weren't going en masse to the fucking
store. It wasn't a shopping trip.
Okay? And now this place, what it was, it's where slaves were bought, sold, and auctioned off. right? And when I saw it, it literally physically made me ill to my stomach, right? Because I knew what happened there. Families were separated. People were murdered. Women were raped. Children were raped. Children were beaten. Children were killed. Men like me were beaten into submission, and if we wouldn't submit,
at gunpoint,
we were killed.
Yeah.
That's what that place was. That's what it represents. Now, what I will tell you about that place cannot go. It can't come down, right? Because that place has to stay, because you need to be able to look at the ugly truth as who and what you are so you don't do it again. That place can't go. I need that place there so I can take my daughter there so she understands what slavery is, because as every 10 years we get further and further away from it, so we need tactical things to be able to say, this is why we fight against this, okay? The difference between that and a statue that was put up, you know, in 1920, because they were spiteful because they lost the war, so it's just like, all right, maybe we lost the war, but we're still going to throw up a statue. There's a huge difference between those two things, right? Look, one is taunting. The other one is a teaching tool.
Let me ask this.
Sorry.
That's all right. No, good. I went to the museum memorial in Dachau, Germany, which was a work camp. I mean, it's where essentially the people the Nazis viewed as enemies were forced to work to make munitions to fund and fuel the Second World War, and were beaten, murdered, brutalized. And I went there. It was one of the most it took my friends that I was there with energy to convince me to go in. I didn't want to see it. It also took energy to get me out because I learned so much. It was disturbing, but I'm sorry to use this word, amazing. It was, I had never understood how Nazi Germany worked on a functional level. I'm like, how do you get people to do this to people? I couldn't comprehend that. I went there, I saw this museum, and I saw how basically it only took a few people. It took a few powerful people with the will and the means to make anyone who didn't bend to their will and their evil intentions potentially on the other side of the game. So if you were a lieutenant in Dachau and you refused to savagely beat someone because you thought it was wrong in principle, you might be the one receiving the savage beating the next day. And they had illustrations of how people were treated, and it was stark and shocking. And this happened in the lifetime of my parents were born a couple years after the Second World War ended. Mm-hmm. But my grandparents could have fought in this, lived through this. I know people who have parents or grandparents who were, you know, had to deal with this. I mentioned Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger was born in 1947 in Austria, shortly after all the shit. I mean, he's a couple years removed from Hitler being gone, and Hitler was from Austria. So we like to say this is in the distant past, and it's, you know, something we can just put behind us and go through, but it's not that fucking long ago, and that is also true of slavery, and certainly, you know, slavery followed by Jim Crow and other,
slavery, Jim Crow, civil rights movement,
I mean,
drug war.
Right. It's, I mean, the drug war is going on right now.
I mean, and those are great points, and that's, and you know, and again, with this,
it was my turn to rant for 20 minutes. Sorry.
Oh no, it's fine. I mean, because this, and again, these are why we fight against these things. It's an we both understand free speech. We both want free speech, and free speech should be allowed. But when free speech, or you use speech to spread hate and to rip people apart and to destroy, to incite violence, that's no longer free speech. That's dangerous speech that can lead to people's lives being lost. And that's the sort of thing that we have to protect against. It's not intolerance. We're protecting tolerance, because if we let this hate speech go, then Nazi Germany is the example of why you can't let it go, right? Nazi Germany is the exact reason why you can't let the fringe all of a sudden
take
envelop
over the narrative,
and take
right?
over. I mean, it just, like, and so, like, sometimes you have to sacrifice something like free speech.
But please, let me know what you're saying exactly, and let me interrupt you, which I've already done. But I don't ever want to be in a country where someone can be imprisoned for voicing an opinion. I'm not saying free, we've said this a million times, free speech is not speech without consequence, but it is not a crime. Now, there are exceptions, and where you draw that line is a very dicey thing to me.
I agree. But again, I think when you call, in my opinion, and you know, it's even been supported by the court, when you call for violence against
that,
other people,
agreed.
Whether it's a group of people or a person or what have you, that's the line. And we for whatever reason, we've gotten a little loose with it because people, it's easy for people to fall into the, I was being sarcastic. It was a figure of speech. I was joking. I'm a comic, whatever it might be. But, and so we've let it go. And now, by letting it go, this is kind of what you reap, right? Where
and it's, yeah, but the counterpoint to that is we've also got people out there who are super sensitive and freak out to the slightest microaggression, you know.
Agreed.
Agreed.
And I think
that's a dangerous.
And it's a tough line. I don't know if it's that tough. I think at some point someone has to just draw a line and stand by it. Right. If you know, to the idea of the oversensitive college students on a college campus, if you have a bevy of students that are, you know, complaining that they want a professor fired because he made them read a book that used the word nigger in it, but it's a book from, you know, it's To Kill a Mockingbird,
right? Or
right, like, well,
Mark,
I mean,
Twain.
That's right, or anyone,
Huckleberry,
like,
Finn, right?
That, right, like, I
nigger Jim got changed to Slave Jim because they didn't have the guts to say that.
Yeah,
now
I mean,
now they want to change it to Jim, and my name is Jim, so I shouldn't be offended by this.
Right, but I mean, the point is, though, you know, you have a bunch of students who get offended by this, and like, I read an article where a student said that they couldn't sleep at night because they read the word nigger in a book, and when they read the word nigger in a book, it just brought to them all the feelings and anger and frustrations of slavery, and that's a sort of condition that they shouldn't have to be in when they're in class, and they couldn't go to class, and they couldn't eat, and they couldn't sleep, and it's just like, all right, well, you need a Valium or a Xanax. And then you need to
cut down on your Ritalin.
You need a combination of a prescription change, and then you need to get your ass back in there. You need to read that book, and you need to read it over and over and over again so that you understand the message. And then you could see the people, the heroes in those books, you know, whether they were slaves or what have you, how they were able to survive and what they had to survive, and understand the difference between being moderately or mildly offended by a word and actually having someone beat you to a pulp because of your skin color.
With impunity.
Right.
Right.
With no recourse whatsoever, right? I mean, like, that's a major part of it, but at the same time, just the fact that it could happen. Right? Like Emmett Till, like the people who killed Emmett Till, who was a young boy who touched a white
Whistled
woman the wrong
way,
you know, they mauled him, they murdered him, they beat him. You couldn't even recognize him.
You could barely tell he was a human being when they were dead. I've seen that picture. I think you maybe emailed me that picture.
And you know, those men got away with impunity, but the fact that it even happened, whether they went to jail for it or not, the fact that they just felt so entitled to do it or empowered to do it, that's why we have to keep those books and those words as they happen. That's why they have to stay in the forefront, right? So that it doesn't happen again. And that's just, to me, that's the importance and the beauty of history.
Right, and so that's something that you kind of touched on, but I don't think you said it to completion. Taking a statue down is not erasing history. If we start saying you can't teach this in schools, and there is a lot of legitimate complaints or concerns by people who say what's getting taught in colleges and high schools is not it's nuanced and it's not as fact-based as it should be, and that's a totally different conversation. But taking down a statue, you know, you're basically removing something that people may have glanced at while pigeons shit all over it, and when you put a statue up, you're basically saying, let's honor this person. So they either go unnoticed or they are a symbol of us saying, this is the individual, these are the actions we want emblified in this place that we are putting aside for people to congregate and enjoy.
Right.
So you know, Robert E. Lee, sorry, but your second place participation trophy has been revoked. It should have never been upped. Just because it never should have been upped, should have been up, doesn't mean you can't take it down.
Right.
You can call it a mistake.
People are just like, oh, well, it was up all this time. Like, okay, okay, well, yeah. Now it's coming down. Now it's coming down.
They make erasers for pencils for a reason.
Right. I mean, you know, they would never put a
and Osama, I mean, calling him Osama bin Laden may not be fair, but it does put some context into it. Like, we need to remember what happened in 9/11. Let's put an Osama bin Laden statue in New York City. No.
Right. I mean, it would never happen. And I mean, I guess my thing would be if you had, let's say, a great U.S. military, you know, agent or soldier who turned out to be a spy, right, who was a turned spy for Russia, but he was a really good guy. Right. Like, he was working for Russia during the Cold War.
All right, enough about Donald Trump Jr.
Right. He was working for Russia during the Cold War. And but he was a really good guy. Right. And he was a really good American.
Is there a memorial to Benedict Arnold? Because you just described Benedict.
And it's unbelievable. Like, these people are more caught up on, well, you're just taking it down because of the media and the narrative and the left is controlling. Like, how about this? How about just being a decent human being? How about you just pull away all the politics? Because there've been the people in the NAACP, which, you know, I don't necessarily agree with ever, rarely, but you know, plenty of, like, people like myself, right? I mean, I'm not an army of people, but just the fact that I walk around, I notice these things. I notice statues, right? I look at them. I have a vested interest in learning. And, oh, who is this person that they're honoring? Oh, Robert E. Lee. Oh, you were, right?
On the other hand, he did have a tremendous singing voice.
Okay. But, I mean, even, you know, like, going to South Carolina, it's just like, oh, this is the state building, and that's weird. That's the
you know,
Confederate flag, and they lost, so that's confusing
I teased two things. One of them was, I lived in Charleston. I loved my time in that city. It is a beautiful city, and you and I ran, you know, this is long before we started our first podcast. You and I ended up sitting next to each other, and you told me you were going to Charleston, and I started just glowingly talking about go here, go here, go here, and you were not particularly enthusiastic about my endorsement of that city. And I remember realizing, you know, I didn't think of it this way. It's easy for me not to.
Well, I mean,
it was a learning moment for me. Because as much as I did love the eating and drinking in that city, and Charleston in 2003 was an awesome place for me to live, you know, the slave market was there, and I heard the same bullshit, you know, tap dance of, oh, well, this is where slaves happily met together and traded goods and services, and, you know, no, stop
it. It's a
real
nice time for everybody.
I told my best story about embarrassing myself in Charleston, where I was running through the area around the slave market to go to a wings joint to meet with some friends, checked out a really hot girl who was, like, leaning over to get into her car, and took a parking meter dead in the middle of the chest. Mm. I went from a solid trot to dead stop.
I don't remember that story.
Jeez. It was amusing. Totally knocked the wind out of me. Made the girl look up and go, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, parking meter to the chest will do that to you.
Yeah,
it just, you know, it's funny.
You never told you that?
Yeah, no, I don't think you actually did tell me that. But the you know, like I said, my thing with Charleston is, and then after actually I went there, then you see, like, almost every street is named for a Confederate general or soldier or, like, I mean, it's just like,
left at Fuck Blackie Street.
Right. Like, are you serious? Like, I mean, it was all over the place. I mean, I don't understand how, and I guess part of it is social conditioning or whatever, but I'm like, how is no one else just baffled by this?
What amazed me was you came back and you had some great meals out there, and you made a point of making your then white coworkers feel as uncomfortable as possible for your entertainment. Like, you all would be buying me this. I remember you coming
back. Right. Well, I mean,
which was fucking great. I'm praising you. This was fucking hilarious to me. Like, you all fucked up. Buy me the scotch.
Right.
Might have been the Steve.
I don't understand how that's just not the, like, every black person who's gone there or ever been there after the Civil War, how you're not
drinks
just
are
like,
on you.
Right, y'all paying for this, right? Y'all, I don't care if you're not from here, you're here now. So you're going to pay for the sins of your father.
That was one of the most entertaining conversations we had when you were back, you had broken your ban on South Carolina, and you said, you had your fun with all those who you could light up with historical references.
And why not?
And yeah, gay. I'm not judging you. I'm praising you. I think that's fucking great.
But
I mean,
it's
not great that it's real, but it's
so
great.
That aside.
All right.
You know, Charlottesville brought about, you know, a conversation between you and I about Steve Bannon's future. Right. I mean, aside from the, I mean, okay, hold on. Let me just get this out of the way.
Go
okay.
for it. Although this right. is going to be the longest spike followed by an end zone dance in
Whiskey it won't. Listen, right. it won't because we got a lot to get to. But Deadpool stats are in. Looks like I'm up 3-1. Okay. You get credit for who? Scaramucci?
No.
Or Rance Priebus?
No, it was the first. Scaramucci replaced. I can't remember.
Oh. You get. A. Oh, you get. You do get credit for Sean Spicer.
Spicer. That makes sense.
Holy cow! We can't. Right. You get credit for Sean Spicer because
Sean Spicer feels like ancient history. Now,
right. I mean, it was so long ago, and then it's just like 2 months ago. And then, yes, I get Scaramucci, and then Bannon, and
you were also you and I were
we were kind of
lined up on Spicer. We both right. chose it at the same time. So and, three for and, you, and one for Rance, me.
Yes.
I think you get you. No, you get Spicer, Priebus, and. And I don't think either of us had Scaramucci. You had Spicer, Priebus, and come on, none of us. He. We didn't record two shows.
Wrote about it on our website, though. I definitely called it out on the website because
I'm appealing to the third base umpire. Okay, whatever.
what was that?
I don't know.
What did you have like tampurines? Like what was that? That's not out.
That's
bro.
Look at it.
It's like right. you're shaking maracas.
Anyway. 3-1 of the Deadpool because
doing
Steve
a show with
Bannon,
the Mexican.
It's good. We're not videoing this one, thankfully. Bannon's out. You called
so,
it. I tried to switch. You blocked my attempt to switch.
Well, I did block your attempt to switch because I had called it the previous week because you had. You
that's
had,
fair. That's
you,
fine.
You went with Sessions, and then I laid out the reasons why it wouldn't be him and why I thought it could be Bannon. And sure enough, I think the whole thing in Charlottesville accelerated Bannon's departure.
Absolutely.
And
no, but I agree with you. But I've got thoughts on why. I wonder what your thoughts on why are.
Wait, what?
Why do you think Charlottesville accelerated his push out the door?
Well, because I think Trump's response, Trump's second response, Trump's third response, and I think that at some point in time, when you have situations like this, that's why you have a chief strategist. So either Bannon didn't have input. And Trump's like, I'm drowning here. What's your purpose? Or he did have input, and Trump's like, I'm drowning here. You're killing me. What is your purpose?
You just threw me a kettlebell, not a life preserver.
Exactly.
Thank you.
You threw me the heaviest kettlebell you could find in the gym, and instead of literally pulling me out of the water. So
I agree.
I think that's
when Bob Corkery, a Republican senator from Tennessee, jumps in and says, "This guy doesn't get it," referring to Trump. You look at your chief strategist, who I'm where I was going to curious to see if you would go. Where I'm going to go now is, did your chief strategist say, double down on your boys, on your David Duke type mentalities? They will rise up and speak in your behalf, and the silent majority will speak in your behalf. And the silent majority said, "Fuck y'all."
Yeah, I
that's where I'm
and it's hard to say. And I because Bannon, after when it was clear he was on his way out, Bannon went to the alt-right and the white supremacists, they're crazy, those guys, they're nuts. He basically tried to dismiss them and just essentially said that everything's falling apart and it's not my fault.
Right. And he also had that interview that was supposedly he thought was off the record that got reported. which if you're a media guy and you don't get that.
Right, you worked for Breitbart. What are you talking about? You thought it was off the record. This is the frustrating part where, these people get touted as geniuses, right? Just these
they're genius because someone said they were,
right? And I mean, you look at academics, you look at he worked at Goldman Sachs, you look at what he did in Hollywood, what he's done with Breitbart. So it's hard for me to argue that he's not an intelligent guy. I don't agree with him. I don't like what I believe he stands for, but I kind of thought he was an intelligent guy. And then so then you're going out in a flaming pile of dog shit, and the best thing you could do is steal the line from the guy who just got booted in front of you with Scaramucci? Like, come on.
You know, you said this a while ago, and it's made me rethink how I feel about a lot of politicians, because I think my natural instinct is to say, if you're in Congress, you must be a smart guy. And that's clearly not true. I think I tended, and I'm strongly moved away from this, I have tended to believe, well, you can't be a member of Congress without being a whatever level of intelligence, and clearly you can.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people, I think, who get
elected. And that applies to, you work for Breitbart, right? Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think that, now, listen, I think that Bannon has definitely, if you tested his IQ, he probably tests through the roof.
Probably, yeah, I agree.
But at some point in time, people just completely leave the strategy and just go off of raw emotion and fear and ego, which is what really gets a lot of these people into trouble, right? It's just, and if you can't control those things when you're in a position of power, then you're bound and doomed to fail.
I think it's the expression, don't start believing your own bullshit, right?
Right.
When you start saying stuff that you know you right. knew
don't
was not
true. Don't start
smelling
yourself, homie.
Right. I mean, because if you start thinking, because I said it, it is true, and if you reach a level of power like chief of staff to the president of the United States of America, it's probably pretty easy to get that mentality.
Right.
But eventually, water's wet and two is four, and you can't change that.
Right, exactly. And I think for Steve Bannon, he rose to a certain level. You know, he had that cover on Time magazine, basically just showing him as the mastermind behind Donald
right.
Trump's presidency, which Trump didn't like because Trump likes him some Trump. And
this just in.
Right.
Are you only saying that because he's named 15 businesses after himself, puts his name on everything, and calls himself having the greatest set of nuts a doctor's ever seen and whatever? Hey, sorry. That was not meant to go there. All right. stop. Nope. I apologize. I
okay.
Back that up.
So anyway, I my thing with Bannon being out is there's this doesn't really solve anything. This raises more questions, because the question that I have is what is Bannon's, what is his approach now? What's his purpose?
What's his influence?
What's his influence? Right, because here's the thing. You and I talked right after it happened, right? Like I got the news.
You got this to me before my CNN. I was driving home. You texted me. I wouldn't look at the text, but I got the so it read on my thing, and then 2 minutes later, CNN breaking news, Bannon's out. So you beat CNN to the punch.
Breaking news, bitches.
Well done. No, it's good. Honestly, when you said it to me, I thought, fuck you. I thought you were being a jerk.
I know you did, and I didn't have time to, like, make, like, to prove it. But it's just,
I don't think
like,
you could have. I don't think the articles were written.
Right. It's just like, he's out. He's out. So here's
this, by the way.
After the show, we have to talk about why this is ridiculous.
it hurts to laugh.
So, my concern is trying. In all seriousness, is you know, after it happened, I just scoured everything. Anything I could take in, I took it in. And from what I gather, you know, Bannon is pissed. He also has been known since Goldman Sachs days of being just a spiteful, angry, vengeful person. And so does he leave the White House in a fit of rage, go back to Breitbart, and tear Trump apart? I told you no.
You said he would go back and be a company man.
Right. I think he would. He's gonna dangle a little bit out there. He's gonna pull the curtain back and say, my time in the White House, I saw this. And some of it, Right. I think a small percentage of what he's going to say is going to make Trump look bad, but it's not really going to put, it's not going to air all the dirty laundry, right? He's going to toss out a dirty sock. You know, he's going to toss out maybe a dirty T-shirt that was worn once for a few hours. But he's not going to get into the nitty-gritty, right? He's not going to get into the dirty boxer shorts and, you know, all
no
the,
skid marks will
right,
be.
Like, exactly. So he's not going to get that into it. But I think he's going to take a couple jabs at Trump, but then he's going to get back on message. He's going to try to re-energize the base, bring that nationalistic white supremacist base back together, you know, because I think it's fractured a little bit right now, and try to drive things back towards 2018, right? Like, don't so much worry about Trump in the White House. Focus on what we're doing on the ground to help affect his message. That's the direction that I think he will ultimately go. Now, listen, if he goes the other way and he says, fuck it, we're burning Trump to the ground, then, I mean, all right, great. We can literally, at that point in time, we could nominate this blue pin here on the table on the opposite ticket of anybody running in 2018 and 2020 and win.
Anyone running as a Republican.
Like, we could,
because you're saying they'll split the Republicans. They'll be the conservative Reagan mentality folks, the alt-right folks. They'll each have their own divisive whatever. Right. And then whoever runs against them will have.
They'll tear each other apart. They will cannibalize each other. And the Democrats or independents at that point in time will be able to completely flip the House, Congress.
Let me stop you. They should be able to. Because if there's one person I know who's been more critical of Democrats' ability to fuck things up, it's you.
I know.
And let's not. I don't want to see the Hillary Clinton crowd that spiked the ball at the 2 yard line do that shit again.
I don't.
So
first of all, I don't want to.
You're saying is right.
I don't want to see Hillary Clinton, and I don't want to see Hillary Clinton's crowd. I don't want to see any of them. Right? Like, listen.
I just, because
you
see where I'm going?
No,
I'm going,
you're right. You're absolutely right. Right? Like, I was trying to be positive towards the Democrats for once, and you pull me back in. But you are absolutely right. Democrats can fuck something up like nothing I've ever seen. And
lost to Donald Trump.
Right.
Case in point.
I'm definitely not going to side with the Democrats.
I'll
have
stay
to,
with the we, even though I've kind of.
Well, I mean,
myself.
Democrats and those that are against what's happening in the Trump administration right now need to come to a collective message. Need to put aside their own internal differences, because there's a lot of infighting.
Right.
On the Democrats,
Warren just came out and said,
which is unbelievable. Which it's as bad as the Trump administration is going. You shouldn't be saying anything. Like, I would be like, if I were in, if I had a position in the DNC, I would be going from state to state, city to city, and I would. Can I have time with you, Congressman? Great. Hey, can you do me a favor? Shut the fuck up. You get it? I'll say it one more time. Shut the fuck up. All right.
You have a warm glass of shut the fuck up.
Right. And then I would go to the next person. I would go to the next senator. I would go to the next congressman. If they were a Democrat, whatever. I would stop saying words. Don't speak. Shut your mouth when you're talking to me. No more words, right? Until 18, right? Until right before the election, and then the only words should be, vote for me, look at that.
Vote for me, I'm not them.
Right.
So on that topic, there was a state senator in Missouri.
The show me state. Oh, God.
Yeah, she showed her. So I did. All right, I saw the headline.
First of all, one thing.
Yes.
What did I just say about what I would say to Democrats?
Shut the fuck up.
Okay.
And
please continue.
Here's someone who did not take your advice. I don't even know the woman's name. I saw the headline. I was coming over to, you know, get us set up, and I told you I want to be careful here. I only read the headline. We've talked on the show a thousand times about don't read a headline and draw a conclusion. You had read the story. So the state senator from Missouri said she hopes Trump is assassinated, and I said, Steve, I saw this. I'm sure you did too. You said, yeah. And I said, all right, I didn't read it. You know, am I getting, sucked in by a headline? And you said, no.
I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Missouri State Senator Maria Chappelle Nadal just on Facebook said that she hopes that Trump gets assassinated. And listen. Again, free speech, you can say what you want. And
I don't think that is a jail. So I would never want someone to get jailed for saying, I hope this happens.
Right.
Now,
I mean, she said, I hope Trump is
stupid.
I hope Trump is assassinated. Now, listen, you are a state senator. You're a civil servant. You have been elected to office to serve the people. You are a public figure yourself, right? You being a public figure, especially in Missouri, especially being a black woman, you should be pretty sensitive to the idea of an assassination, okay? You need to understand what that actually means.
I question the intelligence of a black woman who's still in Missouri.
Okay, but besides that, you have to be sensitive to the idea of an assassination, and especially when it comes to a president, and just the impact that that has on a nation. Whether you like Trump or not, him being assassinated is a disaster for this country.
Anytime a leader right, like, is killed, that's
right.
Horrible.
I mean, but for this country right and now, like that would
I can only
be
imagine what would
disaster.
Happen. Oh my gosh! You know, I never thought about it because I'm really not. The Secret Service is so good and so
right
empowered.
Listen,
but
after what they dealt with Obama for 8 years,
right?
I mean, the Secret Service, they deserve a medal of something, whatever
yes.
they can get, because I mean, I'm sure they were fending them off left
the,
and right.
The All right, I don't want to go down this road. Let's stick with this senator from Missouri and just say, I condemn what she said. I don't respect what she said. I think we talked about Jeffrey Lord. And
fired.
Okay. Yeah?
Fired. I'm okay we got to get her out. I don't know. I'm sure there's some ridiculous process where you got to get so many votes and there's got to be a watermelon that gets punted and whatever.
Why?
But like, because there's always something stupid, right? You can't just
watermelon,
fucking fire
just like,
all right, anybody in government, right? You can't.
If I said
like,
watermelon, I'd be with the angry stare for an
right,
hour and a half.
And it's,
but okay.
It's weird why it's in my head, but there's you can never fire. You can't just fire somebody in government, right? There's always a really
right, there's,
long. You need 2/3 votes and 17 people, and the pro tempore
so
has
censure
gotta be
has
it,
to
or
the
whatever.
Pro tempore.
So, you know, it's not going to be a simple. Well, she's just fired. She's essentially going to have to get a mini version of an impeachment. And I don't know if people
and
are
you
gonna,
said she t- you told me she said she will not step down, right?
Not,
so she's
not
so
going to resign.
Owning it and
not going to resign.
Well,
and not
I think
apologize.
She's wrong to not. I kind of respect her for not apologizing. I kind of respect her for not apologizing, but I think she needs to get taken out of office.
Right. She shouldn't
so,
have that
good
job
for you
anymore.
You did your thing, and you got to go.
Right. I mean, and she said it in a, like, it's so stupid because someone had said, I don't know if they were commenting on her page or she was just responding to comments, but it was just a quick comment. She said, well, it was just a comment of, you know, I hope Trump is assassinated. And then it got taken down, but it's just come on.
You can't do this. You
know,
this is
say that, and that's and listen. Part of the reason why you have to go is because you're an idiot, right?
Right.
That's
right.
Why you have to.
This
because
is,
now
this is the Jeffrey Lord thing. Like
now,
you're dumb enough.
You're not smart enough to be in that chair if you're dumb enough to actually make that comment on social media where people can do a screenshot and spread it around the world in 30 seconds. Are you that stupid? Yes, you can't have that job anymore.
We can no longer trust you to fix the public parking situation because you said that on social media.
Right.
I'm okay. I'm down with that. It's you know, I don't know anything about this lady. She might be a fine human being for the most part,
sure
but
she is.
You know, one of the best
she can go
the bake sale, she makes the best.
You know what? She can go get a job as a consultant. Listen, let me tell
that's
you.
Right.
I know exactly what you can't say. and so I just, sorry, but not sorry. You're like, you can't be that dumb. Moving on.
I don't need to embellish on that. I agree. It was the last show we talked about me tap danced around. Should Jeffrey Lord be fired? And I said, I didn't necessarily think he should be. I certainly don't bemoan the fact that he was, but you know, he was let go for saying something really stupid. And this woman is not an entertainer, not a news person. She's an elected official.
Right.
So she actually, like, you know, people on Fox News or CNN can say and do really dumb shit. And they do influence people's thoughts, but they can't change public policy. This woman is in a position where she could. And sorry, as much as you might not like the president, you can't say that kind of shit, and I can't stand behind you if you do.
Right, I can't. I'm sorry. I can't trust you. I can't trust you to make smart decisions if something like that. And you know, people will probably come to her back and say, well, you know, it was just Facebook. It was just a comment. It's not that big of a deal. It is that big of a deal. In this environment, If you aren't politically savvy enough to understand what's at stake, if you don't understand that everyone is looking at every little thing that...
And this isn't everyone, a little thing, right?
But you have to understand that if you are a government official and you are saying that you're aligning with Democrats or you're aligning with Republicans, then the other side, right? So she's a Democrat. So Republicans are looking at everything you do because, listen, that seat, if they can get you out now, can maybe flip to Republican, right? And everyone is fighting for power right now. So if you don't understand that game, right, which it's unfortunate that politics are that enshrined in what we're doing. But if you don't understand that, I can't have you. You can't be my state senator.
I have been very critical of people who got taped saying something that they didn't know they were on record for, the Mitt Romney 47%, whatever. I'm like, if you don't know that you might be being taped or might be being recorded, then that's on you. Well, if you actually type this into your Facebook, that's not even being accidentally overheard. Right. That's I chose to take however many muscle movements it took to type that. Sorry.
Gotta go.
You gotta go.
Gotta All go.
Right. We should get going, too.
All right, let's go.
And we'll move on. We'll talk about more stuff, but we'll wrap this up. We are Whiskey Congress. We're at Whiskey Congress on social media. We are on iTunes. We got some rants coming up on YouTube. We have the Drink of Atonement vote going out there, which will probably be mostly done, but we will have our rules established for that and which of us have to drink the awful thing that you people voted for.
You people.
I just called you people. What do you mean, you people? All right, we're out. You good?
I'm good.
Later.